March 2nd marks a year since the killing of Honduran indigenous rights and environmental activist Berta Cáceres. The private and state actors believed responsible for her murder never made any secret of the threat they saw from Cáceres and her group COPIN, the Council of Popular and Indigenous Organizations of Honduras. The threat to the ability of extractive industries to steal land and water out from under indigenous people with state sanction. Such predations and the accompanying violence have been exacerbated by the 2009 coup in Honduras, a coup that the U.S. critically supported. If history is guide, what coverage you may see of the anniversary of Cáceres' death will acknowledge her as a human rights leader, but won't discuss U.S. complicity in her fate and that of many others killed, attacked, or jailed in Honduras for standing up for themselves and their communities. Beverly Bell is coordinator of the group Other Worlds Are Possible and an associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. She worked and traveled with Berta Cáceres and COPIN for many years. Welcome back to Counterspin, Beverly Bell.
Thank you, Janine.
Well, in May of 2015, when we spoke to you last, corporate media in the U.S. were largely overlooking Berta Cáceres and COPIN being awarded the Goldman Environmental Prize, a sort of green Nobel. And we talked about that as a missed chance to bring to light connections between U.S.-based corporations and U.S. aid dollars and the violence against indigenous communities and environmental advocates, among others, in Honduras. I remember that at the time you said that because of her work, Berta's life hung by a thread. Well, that missed opportunity to talk became an ominous silence, it seems, just as it's been made painfully clear how important it is to make just those connections. I'd like to ask you to tell us about Honduras since the assassination and what still stands in the way of justice for Berta Cáceres and for all of those others.
The first thing that stands in the way of justice is that the Honduran government continues to be an imposed government and completely unaccountable. It reigns with full impunity, as have the administrations which preceded it ever since 2009, when, as you say, the U.S. very strongly backed a coup d'etat against Mel Zelaya, who was the last elected government of Honduras. Since then, there have been two other elections, and both have been total shams. They were certified by both the U.S. and Canada, but very few other governments. And so the government pretends to be a democracy and is certainly touted as such up here, but it is in fact a dictatorship and acts like one. The group Global Witness, very well known and well respected international human rights group, just put out another report saying that Honduras continues to be the most dangerous country in the world to be an environmental activist. And certainly the record of the last year proves that to be true. There have been dozens and dozens of assassination attempts, and at least six high-level indigenous activists, just indigenous activists, have been killed or were almost killed just in the past year since Berta Cáceres was killed. The most recent was on February 20th, when José de los Santos Sevilla, who was a leader of the Tolupan indigenous peoples, who are fighting their own battles against theft of their land and resource extraction, was killed. So he is only the last. I don't even have all the figures. They haven't even all been tracked. But what we know is that until there is a change in the actions of the Honduran government and a respect for lives, human rights, and democracy, that indigenous and other environmental actors will not be safe. And we know furthermore that there will not be this change vis-a-vis the Honduran government as long as the U.S. continues to send many, many, many millions of dollars of military aid to Honduras every year.
When Berta Cáceres was killed, the
papers like the New York Times covered it, and they talked about how the coup, in fact, had made Honduras more dangerous for activists, but then they left out the U.S. role in the coup. Well, since then, U.S. media have gone, if you will, further. They've actually kind of worked to sell a whole different idea to U.S. citizens about the role that the U.S. has played and is playing in Honduras. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you mentioned the investigation into the events of March 2nd, a year ago, which is when Berta Cáceres was assassinated. Also that night, also in her house, a guest from Mexico, a very powerful indigenous and environmental defender on his own right, Gustavo Castro Soto, was shot and was almost killed. One bullet just missed his skull by a millimeter and took off part of his ear instead. He was also shot in the hand. He was then held illegally by the Honduran government and tortured for 1 month. And we do know, we actually have corroboration from State Department in a written email that they were part of that investigation. Gustavo escaped just by a hair with his life, and he and his family are now living in exile in Europe. So both Gustavo and the family of Berta Cáceres have been trying to have a fair investigation. This investigation, much like Berta's own killing, is really a window into the role of the United States government. And I'll just spin that out for you a little bit, mm-hmm. because it's part of the story that has been kept from the U.S. public and certainly the Honduran public. So these two entities, one of them a direct survivor, Gustavo Castro Soto from Mexico. He's actually the director of Friends of the Earth Mexico in Chiapas. And then the family of Berta Cáceres have been trying to gather evidence. The Honduran government has blocked them at all turn, and then last September actually disappeared every shred of evidence that those two parties had spent 6 months collecting. Every document, every photograph, every scrap of paper that had the name of a lead, all disappeared. And, of course, the Honduran government said that it was a theft. Of course, we know that it wasn't. Furthermore, the Honduran government has refused to share any information with these players, including with Berta's very own daughters. And they have refused the offer of the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights to help out and to come in as a neutral player. That is not at all surprising. And then what the U.S. has done is only surprising in how far it goes. It's so egregious. What the U.S. did has been to arrest, through a special unit that is deployed to the Honduran government, the U.S. has made arrests at strategic times of suspects, and then has gone to the U.S. Congress, we know this for a fact, and said, oh, no, no, you can't cut off U.S. military aid to Honduras, because then there will be no way to go forward with the investigation into Berta Cáceres' killing, because the U.S. is the only team that is doing anything serious. The U.S. began doing this immediately after Keith Ellison introduced into Congress last year the Berta Cáceres Human Rights Act, which called on all U.S. military aid to be cut until there was significant improvement in human rights. And so it was immediately in response to this bill going into the U.S. Congress that we then saw the U.S. being so duplicitous and convincing Congress that U.S. aid had to continue flowing.
That would seem to dovetail nicely with the piece that some listeners may remember from August of last year in the New York Times, which was about how the U.S. is involved in Honduras and making things safer in Honduras. I mean, how the most dangerous place on earth got safer was the headline over this Week in Review piece. And the subhead I thought was very interesting. Programs funded by the United States are helping transform Honduras. Who says American power is dead? this seems to me to fit precisely with this effort to fight back against any plans to stop aid by saying, no, 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 the U.S. is actually the force for justice here, including justice for Berta Cáceres.
Yes, that piece that you mentioned that came out last August is really extraordinary, and the same journalist did one the same week on national public radio. And both of them show one tiny little micro example of a little community where apparently, who knows if it's true, I doubt it, but where apparently U.S. government funding had helped one small community center. And through this, the journalist extrapolated and said that all of Honduras is getting better, as you say, Janine, thanks to U.S. funding. What's extra interesting about those two pieces is that they appeared just weeks after the president of Honduras, in response to the Berta Cáceres Human Rights Act moving forward in Congress, the president had come up to Washington to do a big PR blitz to ramp up the Honduran government's image using the convenient tool of U.S. media.
We've been speaking with Beverly Bell of the group Other Worlds. They're online at otherworldsarepossible.org. Thank you so much, Beverly Bell, for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Janine, I'm delighted to speak with you, and I hope that all U.S. people listening will take responsibility for our government, such as it is, and get in touch with their congresspeople to push for this act that can truly make a difference for all Hondurans.